Hi, this is Chris Morgan, Senior Pastor of Cornerstone Fellowship Church. We're a non-denominational, full gospel church located in Matthews County, Virginia. Thank you for listening to today's message. We believe you'll be encouraged. For more information about us, visit gocfc.com. God bless and enjoy.
Line with us this morning. Hallelujah. When it comes to the anointing, it's in the Word of God, and all we have to do is what? Believe it and receive it and then act on it, right? Each one of us individually, believe in the Word of God. Hallelujah. I just want to remind people today, if you have a testimony that comes from the Healing Center, please write it down, turn it in. Doesn't matter if you're online, write it down, send it in, send it by somebody, bring it yourself, get it to us, or even the team here will help you write your testimony down and get it on paper. So if you've been helped or healed in any way by the Healing Center coming week in and week out, we want to know about it. Hallelujah. It helps other people. Amen. Testimonies inspire us. They don't give us faith. They inspire our faith. Only the Word of God can give us the faith. Hallelujah. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So I just encourage people from week after week after week to keep coming. It's something about God seeing your face show up, because to Him that means you're acting your faith when you get up and you get here and you're determined to hear the Word of God. So keep coming, keep believing God, releasing your faith, hearing what the Word is saying to you, and receiving that Word and acting on that Word, because that's when it works. You can't work on somebody else's Word or somebody else's revelation. You have to work what's being made real to you. Amen. Hallelujah. So never give up, never give in, never quit. Never stop saying he won't do it for me. Yes, he will. He'll do it for whosoever will believe. Amen. Hallelujah. So let's make our confession this morning, our confession of faith with concerning the Word of God. I believe my Bible is the Word of God, and it is God speaking to me. I believe everything that He says in the Word. I'm a believer and not a doubter. I walk by faith and not by sight. Today, I receive the incorruptible, indestructible Word of God into my heart, and I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. That's for somebody in here, hopefully everybody. Because what? Our words is a release of our believing. So we have been looking at what does faith look like. And we're going to review a little bit about what does faith look like. We know that faith has an expression. Faith is released through our words and our actions. Faith is motion activated, and it is also motion activated and voice activated. So faith has an expression through words and actions. And we've been looking at the different examples in the Bible of faith in action or faith not in action. And we started out by looking at Thomas. And we found out that with Thomas, Thomas said, unless I see the nail prints in his hands and thrust my hand into Jesus' side, he said, I will not believe. And then Jesus showed up again when all the disciples were together. And what did Jesus do? He first addressed Thomas, and he said, Thomas, blessed are those who have not seen but yet believe. So we're talking about the God kind of faith and what does it look like, and that it does have an expression, and that the believing and the speaking come before the feeling and the seeing. Thomas wanted to see it and feel it first in order to believe it, but that doesn't take faith at all when you can already see it and feel it. God says he wants us to believe it before we see it or feel it, but because he said it and that we've received it as our very own. Amen? So Thomas was not a good example of the God kind of faith. And then we looked at another example behind Thomas, and we looked at what? Abraham. And we saw that Abraham was a good example of the God kind of faith. Why? Because Abraham grabbed a hold of the promise of God that was spoken to him beyond what he could see, feel, hear, touch. Well, come on now. Beyond what his own physical natural body was telling him, beyond what his wife's physical body was telling her, telling both of them. He grabbed a hold of the promise of God and allowed what God said to speak louder to him than his circumstances. So he allowed that promise of God to gain supremacy, where he became, what it tells us in Romans chapter 4, he became what? Fully persuaded. Abraham became fully persuaded in the promise of God, or the word of God, that God told him, I will make your seed what? Greater than the sands of the seashore. Hallelujah. For out of you will come many generations. Hallelujah. And so Abraham believed the word of God, the promise of God. And just like you and I have to believe the word of God, the promise of God, over and above what we might be feeling or seeing. Abraham was fully persuaded. It says he did not waver in doubt and unbelief, but he believed God. He said, it said that he gave glory to God, knowing that what God had said, God was able to perform for him. And we got to get to that place ourselves where we are fully persuaded and know that what God has said, he is able to perform it for you and I. Above and beyond what we're seeing or feeling. We're not in denial. We're not saying I don't see something, I don't feel something that's contrary to what the word says. No, those things are real, but the word of God has got to gain supremacy and become more real than the circumstances. And that's what Abraham allowed in his life, that the word of God, the promise of God, would be more, became more real to him than the circumstances that he was surrounded with. And it brought about the promise of God to pass in his life. Hallelujah. So Abraham was a good example of what does the God kind of faith look like. The God kind of faith has what? It has action and it does speaking. What did Jesus say when he spoke to the disciples and he was teaching them, giving them a lesson on faith, and he just spoke to a fig tree in Mark chapter 11? And what happened? The fig tree heard him, obviously, because it responded to the words that Jesus spoke. When Jesus released his words and spoke to that fig tree, the fig tree heard him and it responded to the words that Jesus spoke in faith. And then it says that Jesus, he looked at his disciples and he said, because they came by the next day and the disciples said, Jesus, look, that tree that you cursed is dried up. And Jesus said, yes. Have the God kind of faith. This is what the God kind of faith looks like. He said, whosoever shall say unto this mountain. What did he say? Whosoever. Are you a whosoever? Do you see yourself as a whosoever? He said, whosoever shall say. He didn't say whosoever shall think about that mountain. No, he didn't say that. He said, whosoever shall say to that mountain. So we know we're supposed to speak to the problems or speak to the circumstances or speak to the opposition or the situation and command it to move. And what did he say? He said, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he says shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith. So we know that the God kind of faith does have a speaking side to it. It believes and it speaks. And then Jesus told us in the word of God, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13, we having The same spirit of faith. I believe, therefore I speak. I believe what? We have to believe it in our hearts first, just like it tells us in Romans chapter 10, verse 8. The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith. We have to get it what? Down in our heart, but it has to get in our mouth first. So speaking plays a vital part to our faith and releasing it and what we already are persuaded of in our hearts. And that's what Abraham did. Then we saw the woman with the issue of blood. What did she do? Well, the Bible says she kept saying. First she heard. That was one of the laws of God right there, was she heard, because faith comes by hearing, Romans 10, 17, and hearing by the word of God. So she heard something that caused faith, and that faith caused her to get moving, and the first thing it moved on that woman was her mouth, because she began saying, if I could just get to Jesus, touch the hem of his garment, I shall be whole. Her faith began to move her, and the first thing it moved on her was her mouth. She got that word in her mouth, and she began to say, she established her what and her when. Her what was her healing and being made whole. Her when was when she was going to get it. Because she said, if I can just get to Jesus and touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. She established that. When so many times we're waiting for something to come along and happen, hello, Jesus is waiting on you to establish the what and the when. Hallelujah. You decide that by your believing and receiving, and then releasing your faith through your words and your actions. So when that woman with the issue of blood, she heard about Jesus, what did she hear? That he was going about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. That caused faith to come to her. So she said, if I can get to him, I know that if I can even just touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. She didn't even worry about him having to come and lay hands on her. She just wanted to touch the hem of his garment. She knew he was anointed. He had the power, the healing power of God on him. And so what happened? Her words and her actions got her right to her answer, and it produced the result that she was believing for. What she said, what she kept saying, what she did, her actions. Faith has an expression through our words and our actions. We cannot just be quiet and expect something to happen or come along. That's a passive faith. No, the God kind of faith speaks and acts. It believes, it speaks, and it acts. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Are y'all with me this morning? Y'all are quiet. Hallelujah. And so that was the woman with the issue of blood, and she was made whole. Jesus said, what woman, thy faith hath made thee whole. Her faith. It wasn't Jesus' faith. It was her faith. If her faith worked for her, how much more will your faith work for you? The same. You got the measure of the same kind of God faith. In Romans chapter 12, verse 3, you were given a measure of the God kind of faith. And then it tells us in 2 Corinthians 4:13, what I just said earlier about having the spirit of faith. You have the faith. Jesus said, if you just had the faith of the grain of the size of a mustard seed, you could speak to that tree and it would be removed. That's what Jesus said. It's not the amount of faith. It's using what we got. It's using the amount of faith that you got, using it, doing something with it, practicing with it. Not waiting on God to do something. He's waiting on you to do something. To believe you have received what his word tells you, that by his stripes you were healed. That means every illness, every disease, every sickness, every weakness, whether it's physically, mentally, he's already provided for your healing. But it isn't just going to show up in your life automatically. It isn't just going to fall in your lap like a ripe cherry off a tree. No. We have to believe that promise, receive that word, receive it as our very own. It's mine. I have it now. The God kind of faith is always in the present tense. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now faith, the God kind of faith is always in the now tense. If you're hoping, which you got to have hope first before you can have your faith, if you're hoping that someday God will heal you, hope is a good expector, but it's also in future tense. Hope is a good expector, but a poor receiver. Faith is the receiver. I have it now. I take it as my own right now. Faith says I have it now. It's mine now according to the Word of God. You're not waiting to see something or feel something before you believe something. No, you believe it before you see it or feel it because God said it. I remember what something Brother Hagin said he wrote down on the top of his Bible. I got it in my Bible. He said, God said it. I believe it. That settles it. There's no questions in between. God said it, I believe it, that settles it. It's not about what I feel. Hallelujah. The speaking and the believing come before the feeling and the seeing. And so the woman with the issue of blood, what happened? It produced her healing. Her whole, Jesus said, you've been made whole. That's even better. Because she had lost everything. She was poor, broke, and sick. But it was restored to her. She was made whole. Hallelujah. Then we saw Paul on the ship with 275 soldiers beside himself, 276 of them together on a ship. A great storm arose, and it looked like they were going to be wiped out. But Paul had a word from God, did he not? Paul chose to believe the word that angel that stood by him and said, not one life will be lost on this ship. So Paul told the men on the ship, he said, be of good cheer. I believe God. It shall be even as it was told me. Cheer up because I got a word from God. Well, we can cheer up. We got a word from God that God, what? He sent his word and he healed us. Psalms 107 verse 20. We got a word, Matthew 8:17, himself took our infirmities, bore our diseases and sicknesses. See it on Jesus. Stop seeing it on yourself. Start seeing it on him as your substitute, as your sickness and disease substitute. He's already taken it in your place. He bore it for you. What he bore, you need not to bear. What he carried, you need to refuse to carry. He carried your pains away. Hallelujah. Praise God. And so it came to pass, just what they believed, just what Paul believed. Every one of them survived the shipwreck, and they all made it to land safely. Not one life was lost. Then we looked at the four lepers. The four lepers, instead of having a pity party and just laying there and sitting there saying, well, we're just going to die right here, just like this. No, they decided to what? Get up and do something. That's what God is waiting on each one of us, to get up and do something with what we know. Faith is an action. Faith has corresponding actions. Faith is released through our words and our actions. Hallelujah. And so those four lepers got up and did something, and it provided what? Provision for the whole camp of the Samaritans. Hallelujah. Yes, food and everything that they needed, that they was in a famine and didn't. Come on now, praise the Lord, because they decided to get up and do something, not just sit there and have a pity party. You cannot be pitiful and powerful at the same time. No, you got to pull yourself out of that, having that pity party and say, oh me, why? No, get out of the whys and get into your answer. Stop looking at your circumstances. Stop comparing yourself to the circumstances and start comparing your great God and his word to your circumstance. Hallelujah. Praise God. And then we moved on from there. We looked at the Joshua with the walls of Jericho and all the children of Israel that were with him. They got up and they did something because God gave them a specific word of instruction. They followed that word, and they did it. They marched around these walls that looked like, what, impossible. Did it for 7 days, and on the seventh day, they did it seven times, and on the seventh time, they shouted. So that means they released their words with actions and words. They said something, they did something, they marched, they believed something in spite of what they were seeing and hearing, because they would have chariot races on top of the walls of that city that encompassed that whole city. It was big walls. It was not something little like a little fence you just push over. No, it was big, thick walls. Houses were built in those walls. And so they did something, they said something, they shouted, and the walls came down. In fact, they said that the walls were actually pushed down into the ground, that they were able to go over them into the city. It didn't just fall over, no. It was so big and thick, that would have taken them a lot of time just to get in over that wall. No, it was pushed down by big, gigantic angels. And their faith activated the angels of God on their behalf. Supernatural. Hallelujah. The same thing your faith will do for you. It will activate. It will activate the supernatural for you on your behalf. Hallelujah. Praise God. And then we looked at the last, before last week I wasn't here. Brother Bob brought a great message. Amen. Praise God. And before that, it was David and Goliath. And we saw that what David won the war of words well before his actual victory. I said he already won his victory through his words, because we found out that when David decides to rise up and confront the giant, he did not confront the giant quietly, because the Bible says he ran at that giant and he had something to say. He did not run at his giant with his mouth shut. No, he said something. He believed something. David knew something. He had had an encounter with God out there keeping sheep. Come on now. He had learned to come to know his God. He knew he had a covenant with God. And when he saw this uncircumcised Philistine, the first thing that he came to his mind was what? Uncircumcised. He don't have a covenant like we do. David was like, who are you to defy the armies of God? You don't even have a covenant. I stand with a God that I have a covenant with. I know him. I got to know him when I was keeping the sheep. And what happened? David pulled out the slingshot, got a stone, threw it, and it killed the giant. He faced that giant. He spoke to that giant. He spoke the end result before it happened to that giant. And it happened. Faith, many times, it declares the outcome before you ever see it or feel it. Because you know it. Because you know it. We saw that when in David and Goliath, when King Saul and the Israelites, when they heard the giant's words, they what? They got in fear. And so many times when we hear a report that comes to us that's opposite of the Bible, it can produce fear. Or if you allow it, it will produce fear, especially if it's not in line with what the Word of God says. We have to not allow that fear because of what we're hearing or seeing, because they saw the giant. He said he came out against them for 40 days and said the same thing to them. And they heard this, King Saul, they heard this over and over again. They allowed the words of the enemy to get into their hearts, and then they began to see themselves defeated. God wants us to get the word of God into our hearts and see yourself as victorious, as an overcomer, as more than a conqueror in the situation. Not as the one that's the victim, but the victor, overcoming that circumstance and situation. Because that's the word of God concerning you. God has said it. If God has said it, God has spoken it, then it's so. So we're not waiting for a feeling first or to see it first. No, God has said it. That settles it. I believe it. And eventually everything concerning your circumstance or situation will align up with what you're believing with your heart as you continue to release your faith through your words and your actions. And David did, and he got the end result. He overcame that giant, he killed it, he slew it, he took his head off. And all the enemies, what? They fleed. They got in fear. Oh boy, I tell you, when you get up every single morning, you become a walking giant in the devil's face and he begins trembling, I can tell you. He doesn't like who lives in you, but you got to know that. I said, you got to know that. He does not like the Christ in you. And especially when you know it and you know how to release the Christ that's in you in your circumstance, the Word of God. The Word of God. Like I said, it's a force that comes out of your innermost being when you have become fully persuaded by what God has said. Hallelujah. Praise God. So David and Goliath, we're going to look at another one today. Hallelujah. Let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Numbers. Let's go to Numbers chapter 13. What does the God kind of faith look like? Well, we're learning more and more. What it looks like, what it does, what it says. It's not passive. Faith is an act. Faith has something to say. It has something to say what God has said. So here we're looking at another situation, another circumstance that took place in the Bible in Numbers chapter 13. And this is when God instructed Moses to send 12 spies into the promised land. Okay, y'all are with me. So if we start in chapter 13, Numbers chapter 13, we're going to read verse 1 here. And I'm reading from the Amplified Version. It says, "And the Lord said to Moses, send men to explore and scout out for yourselves the land of Canaan, which I give to the Israelites." Uh-oh, here we go already. From the very get-go, what did God tell Moses? The very land that I have given to you, the Israelites, I give to you. But does that mean it's just going to fall into their lap? No. They're going to have to go in by faith and possess it according to what God has said. Are you with me? Okay. So he says, "Which I give the Israelites, from each tribe of their fathers you shall send a man, everyone a leader or a head among them." So let's go to verse 17. "Moses sent them to scout out the land of Canaan and said to them, get up this way by the south and go up into the hill country." Verse 18, "And see what the land is and whether the people who dwell there are strong or weak, few or many." Verse 19, "And whether the land they live in is good or bad, whether the cities they dwell in are camps or strongholds." Verse 20, "And what the land is, whether it is fat or lean, whether there is timber on it or not, and be of good courage and bring some of the fruit of the land." Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. Verse 21, "So they went up." Here we go. Here's the 12 spies that Moses sends. They go up and scout through the land from the wilderness of Zin to Rehob to the entrance of Hamath. Verse 23, "And they came to the valley of Eshcol and cut down from there a branch with one cluster of grapes, and they carried it on a pole between two of them." Now, I don't know about you, but a cluster of grapes that was carried between a pole between two people had to be some very fruitful fruit. I mean, that was some big fruit. A big cluster that they had to put on a pole and carry between two people. That sounded like it was rich land. and good fruits and things there. It says they carried it on a pole between two of them, and they brought it also with some pomegranates and figs. Let's look at verse 25. It says, and they returned from scouting out the land after 40 days. So it wasn't just a little quick run in, look around, and run back home. No, they went into this Canaan land, and they took 40 days to really search it out, look at what's going on, see what kind of land, what kind of fruit, everything, what kind of timbers, everything that was there. Are you getting this? Mm-hmm. So verse 26, and they came to Moses and Aaron and to all the Israelite congregation in the wilderness of Paran and Kadesh and brought them word and showed them the land's fruit. Verse 27, they told Moses, we came to the land to which you sent us. Surely it flows with milk and honey. This is its fruit. So they're starting out really good right here. They say, man, this land is rich, is awesome. It's some big things that grows here, and it's just awesome. Verse 28, but, right there, billy goat faith, but, that will not get you anywhere or anything when it comes to the things of God. We cannot have billy goat faith. So they started out really good, and then they bring this big but in there. But the people who dwell there are strong, and the cities are what? Fortified and very large. Moreover, there we saw the sons of Anak, a great stature and courage. Uh-oh. Now they're letting their five senses, where they can see, feel, taste, touch, smell, get into affecting what God told them. Because they saw that it was a good land, and it was rich, milk and honey. It was great. But then they also saw something else there in the enemy's camp, and they began to talk about it. And then look at verse 30. It says, Caleb, he quieted the people before Moses, and he said, let us go up at once and possess it. We are well able to conquer it. What does that sound like to you? The spirit of faith. He's basing what he heard and saw from God from the very beginning. God says, go in and possess the land I've given you. Caleb says, we're well able to possess this land. He quieted the people. He says, let us go up at once and possess it. He said he knew who was on, Caleb knew who was on his side, who was behind him, what he had spoken, what God had said. Verse 31, but his fellow scouts, now look, it was 12 of them that went in and saw the same thing, heard the same thing. Come on now. They heard the same reports. They saw the same fruits, vegetables, whatever, timber. Two of them are going to speak because they know that God is with them and for them. And then here comes the other 10. Uh-oh. But his fellow scouts said, we are not able. Uh-oh. We are not able to go up against the people of Canaan, for they are stronger than we are. Who told them that? It wasn't God. It wasn't Moses. Nuh-uh. Verse 32, so they brought the Israelites an evil report. Look at that. God calls this an evil report. It was contrary to what God had said to them. Because they sided in and decided to go with what they saw instead of what they heard from the word of God. I've given you this land, go in and possess it. Caleb and Joshua heard it, heard the same thing, saw the same thing, and boy, they go in with a spirit of faith. We're well able. We can do this. We know who's for us. We know who has already given us this land, so it doesn't matter what enemies rise up against us, what it looks like, what it feels like, what's been told. The only thing that they cared about was what was told them from God. Are you getting this? By his stripes you were healed. Who told you that? That's exactly right. God the Father, through his Son, Jesus Christ, he told you that. It's a settled truth. You are the healed of the Lord. You are the redeemed of the Lord right here, right now. Faith is in the now tense. Faith says, I have it now. The God kind of faith. Now faith is. Now I have my healing. Now I possess what Jesus Christ has already wrought for me as my very own. It belongs to me. I take it. I have it. It's mine. I see myself with it. Because the Word of God will produce an image on the inside. When you're fully persuaded and you continue to look at it and meditate on it and mutter it and roll it over in your thought life and speak it out, it paints a picture on the canvas of your heart. When you begin to see yourself the way God says you are, not see yourself as defeated and not having the answer. No, you see yourself as the victor. Let's keep going here. So verse 32, so they brought the Israelites an evil report of the land which they had scouted out, saying, the land through which we went to spy it out is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. So here they go, they're moving from what God had said, moving off what he had said, and now they're getting focused on what they're seeing and hearing with their own physical senses. And they're allowing that to persuade them. Verse 33, there we saw the Nephilim, or giants, the sons of Anak, who come from the giants. And we were in our own sight. Uh-oh, here we go, right here. They were what? In their own sight. In other words, they had looked in those 40 days. Now, when they were checking out that land and the promised land, 40 days, they allowed what they saw to overcome what God had said to them. They became stronger and bigger to them because of what they were seeing, the giants and all these great sons of Anak, the giants' sons and big stature. It looked horrible. So they began to see themselves as already defeated. And they ain't even got going good yet. All they did was go into the land for 40 days and scout it out like Moses told them. He said, there we saw the Nephilim, or giants, the sons of Anak, who come from the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. They began to see themselves as just small and minute, nothing in the eyes of that giant. They knew that giant was going to defeat them, or they thought that because of what they saw. As grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight. How do they know that? They don't know what the enemy was thinking. But when they allowed their circumstances to persuade them, then they were already convinced that they were defeated, and they were already convinced that the enemy saw them as being already defeated. God hadn't said any of this to them and told any of that to them. He just said, go in and possess the land I've given to you. Jesus said, by my stripes you were healed. Have I not said it? He spoke it. He said it. We got to believe it. Too many times we begin to compare ourselves to our circumstances. We look at it from the natural viewpoint, from the natural standpoint. You cannot compare yourself to your circumstance. You were not meant to compare yourself to your circumstance. You were meant to compare the God inside of you and his word to that circumstance that moves that circumstance. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So the God kind of faith has what? It has an expression through its words and its actions. They begin to say something, and then they begin to act on it, saying, we can't do this. They were saying it with their, they were defeating themselves, and then they began to see themselves that way. You have to allow the Word of God to take that preeminence, to rise and gain mastery and gain supremacy over the circumstance and situation because God has said it. And that settles it. But look at verse 6 in chapter 14 now. We were just in chapter 13. Look at verse 6 of chapter 14. Numbers chapter 14, verse 6. And Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, who were among the scouts, who had searched the land, rent their clothes. Woo. Verse 7, and they said to all the company of Israelites, the land through which we passed as scouts is an exceedingly good land. Here we go. They were in that group with the 40 days with the other 10 spies. They were all in there together, 40 days. He said, it is a land that's what? Exceedingly good land. Verse 8, if the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land flowing with milk and honey. In other words, it's not no problem with God on our side. We're going to get this land because God said so. Come on now. Healing belongs to you because God says so. It is yours. You have to take it and personalize that. Oh, glory. Verse 9, only do not rebel against the Lord. Here's the word rebel. What does that mean? Go against what God has said. Do not go against what God has said. Don't rebel. Don't go against what God has said. They knew, Caleb and Joshua knew what God had said. And they were hanging on to that. They knew that. God had said, go in and possess it. I've given it this land. He said, neither fear the people of the land. Why? Because the 12 spies, the 10 of them began to fear because of what they were seeing and hearing. What they saw, what they could hear, produced doubt and unbelief, and it began to rob them. But Caleb and Joshua, totally different. Totally different. So it says, verse 9, let's go back right here to verse 9. Only do not rebel against the Lord, neither fear the people of the land. In other words, don't be moved by what you're seeing. Don't be moved by what you're feeling. Only be moved by what God has said. If God has said it, then it is so. By his stripes you were healed. He said, neither fear the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Glory to God. That's a great word of faith right there. I mean, he saw the same things these other 10 spies saw, and he says, they are just bread for us. Well, words of faith. He said, they're bread for us. He says, their defense and the shadow of protection is removed from over them. Woo! He says, it doesn't matter how strong they look, how big they look, how great they look. He said, it's been removed from them because the God that we serve, the God that's on our side, he's already overtaken every single one of them. He's already conquered this for us. Hallelujah. He said, the shadow of protection is removed from over them, but the Lord is with us. Fear them not. You got to know God is with you and he's for you. He's not against you. He's not withholding any good thing from you. Psalms 84:11. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. It's the Father's good pleasure to do you good. It pleases him when you step out in faith on his word with nothing else but his word because you believe it. Hallelujah. Faith has an expression. What does the God kind of faith look like? Our words and our actions. Every single one of these people and the situations and circumstances that we've looked at in the Bible so far, every one of them said something and did something, whether it was for the negative or for the positive. And we see right here the 10 spies, they had negative words and it produced a negative result for them, because only two people got into the promised land. We're going to see that. Verse 10, now this is after Caleb and Joshua had just told and said this stuff and said, the Lord delights in us and he's with us and fear them not. Verse 10, but all the congregation said to stone Joshua and Caleb with stones. But the glory of the Lord appeared at the tent of the meeting before all the Israelites. Oh my goodness. Because they had a different spirit, they were rebelling, and they were saying something opposite than what God had said. They were going against the word of God, saying it. And it was producing a negative result in their life. Their sight, the fear they had that produced the unbelief, it robbed them of God's best and what God had for them. Look at verse 24 in chapter 14. Verse 24, chapter 14. But my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit and has followed me fully, I will bring into the land into which he went, and his descendants shall possess it. Hallelujah. So Caleb and Joshua, what? Verse 27. How long would this evil congregation murmur against me? I have heard the complaints the Israelites murmur against me. The evil report they brought to him, and they murmured. God called that murmuring against him because it was not in line with what he had told them. I have given you this land. Just like Joshua and Caleb said, we're well able to go in and possess it. Hallelujah. Verse 28, tell them, as I live, says the Lord, what you have said in my hearing, I will do to you. What does the Bible tell us in Proverbs 18:21? Death and life are in the power of our tongues. Death and life. So two of them got life. That's Joshua and Caleb, because they believed God and his report, and they said, we're well able. But the other ones died there 40 years in the wilderness until all of that generation had died out before they didn't get to see the promised land. He says, what you have said, I will, what? I will do to you. Your own words produce life or death. We're talking about our faith being released through our words and actions. Life-giving words, when you're speaking God's word over your situation, over your life, not the circumstances, not talking about the mountain, talking to the mountain. Verse 30, surely none shall come into the land in which I swore to make you dwell, except Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, son of Nun. That's what God said. Woo, boy, boy, boy. We talked about what does faith, the God kind of faith, look like. These 12 spies, they all saw the same thing, heard the same thing. They went in for the same 40 days. Not some came back after a little while. No, they all stayed there for 40 days. But some came back with a negative report, using their mouth to express that negative report, what they saw, felt, heard, looked at, what it seemed to appear as, but God had said. They forgot about what God had said and allowed the circumstances to be and speak greater to them. And this is where we got to be, keeping our eyes on the Word of God consistently, constantly. We got to guard our eye gate, our ear gate, and our mouth gate, because they are the gateways into our heart. What we're seeing constantly, what we're hearing constantly, what we're speaking constantly are all gateways into our heart. And it tells us in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, we're to guard our heart because out of it flow the what? Forces of life. Forces of life, the force of faith, the force of love. Come on now. Out of your spirit, out of your heart. So this is why it's important when we are faced with contrary circumstances or situations or mountains or anything that would come to oppose you concerning what the Word says you are or have. When we're faced with that, it's vitally important that we're continuing to hear that word, look at that word, study that word, speak that word on a consistent basis, not just in the times of the pressure. No, all the time. We need to be declaring who you are, what you have, what you can do in Christ, the new birth realities, the new creation realities. These just don't come about sometime and just work part of the time. No, they're who you are according to God all the time. But you have to believe that, that you have that, that you are that, that you possess that all the time. And then there to recognize that there's an adversary that's arrayed against you that's trying to steal what rightfully belongs to you or persuade you off your faith and trust in God and what He has said to believe what you're seeing or feeling. So the gateways into our hearts, it's not just putting in a little bit here, a little bit there, a little just when the pressure is on. No, like Smith Wigglesworth said, if you're trying to stuff faith in and you're in the middle of a crisis, it's almost too late. This is why it's so important that we're continuing to exercise our faith, use our faith, build our faith on a continual basis. We know as long as we live on this earth, and in this world, we're in the world, we're not of the world, that your faith won't go unchallenged. But when it is challenged, you rise up as a victor, not the victim, knowing who you are, what you have, and what you can do in Christ, not in and of your natural self, but in the Word of God. Let's stand to our feet. So no matter what you might be facing, no matter what you might be feeling, no matter what you might be seeing, the God kind of faith is not moved by that. The God kind of faith is moved by what God has said. And what God has said should become your final word and have the final authority in your life. And if you're not at that place yet, it's all right. Just be determined that you're going to continue to use what you've been given, continue to build your faith, exercise your faith, use your faith. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You can school yourself in the faith as you continue to use what you've been given. All of us have been given the measure of the God kind of faith, but it's what we do with it. We're not waiting for God to do something. He's waiting for you to do something with what you have been already given. The God kind of faith. And the God kind of faith rises up and faces the circumstance and situation, just like David did with the giant. He ran at the giant and he spoke the end result. He decreed it, he declared it, and his actions followed it. He didn't question it, but he understood his covenant that he had with God. And what does the Bible tell us? We have a better covenant. Hebrews 8:6, a better covenant based upon better promises. It's been sealed and ratified by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God for the blood that sealed and ratified our covenant we have today. So let's continue to be exercising our faith, using our faith, day in and day out. Doesn't matter if you start with a headache. Doesn't matter if you start with a fingernail. Start somewhere by releasing your faith, believing what God has said, speaking to it, not talking about it, speaking to it, and telling it to be removed. Call it for what it is. If the doctors say it's arthritis, then say, arthritis in the name of Jesus. I command you, get out of my body. You have no place in me, no power over me, no unsettled claims against me. The blood has settled it. You have no place here. Get out of my body. Believe the words that you said, because Jesus said what? I've given you the power and authority, the authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions. Hallelujah. That means to exercise your right and privilege you have in Christ over that circumstance. Don't allow the circumstance to overcome you. You overcome it through your faith and trust in Him. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you this morning. Thank you for your word. Hallelujah. We thank you so much for your word. You sent your word. You healed us. You delivered each one from their own destruction. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Your words are life, healing, medicine to all their flesh. We thank you that every sickness, every disease, every illness, every weakness, every pain has to bow its knee to the name that's above every name, the name of Jesus. We speak Jesus over each mind, every body. We speak Jesus over every disease and sickness and call it brought to naught in Jesus' name. And we loose the healing power of God to work and minister and influence to bring about a cure and wholeness in each body. In the name of Jesus. And we give all praise, all glory, and all honor to you this morning, Lord. We praise you and we thank you for your goodness, your kindnesses, your love, your mercies, your compassions, they never fail, never fail. And we're so grateful and thankful to you this morning for all that you've done through the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it helped you. You can visit our website at gocfc.com to listen to other life-giving messages, read the pastor's blog, or to find out how you can be a part of an upcoming service. We hope to hear from you or see you soon. God bless and have a wonderful day.